Macintosh Folklore Radio, written by Andy Hertzfeld and Company, and read by Derek Warren. Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for all the kind wishes while I recovered from the flu, followed by a very persistent throat infection, which is still not completely gone yet, if you can believe that. Now back to your regularly scheduled MFR. Can we keep the skies safe? January 1984. The marketing campaign that launched the original Macintosh was almost as imaginative and innovative as the product itself. It included a carefully orchestrated press blitz, masterminded by Regis McKenna, the legendary Silicon Valley marketing guru, whose business card read, Regis McKenna, himself, and his team of bright young female assistants, who we nicknamed the Regettes, Andy Cunningham, Jane Anderson, and Katie Cadigan. The basic idea was to create a perception of the Macintosh introduction as an epical event by garnering as much attention as we could from every possible venue. Some of the monthly magazines had lead times of more than 3 months, so the press briefings and interviews began in October 1983 and became more numerous with each passing week. One of the most sought-after goals of the press campaign was to obtain a cover story from either Time or Newsweek during the week of the Macintosh launch. Regis and his team were experts at the delicate dance of courtship that such an endeavor required, since journalistic ethics mandated that the cover could not be bought or promised ahead of time. In mid-December, after interviewing Steve and some of the design team, we heard that Newsweek was potentially interested in doing a cover story. It looked promising enough that the Regettes arranged an impromptu trip to New York City for Steve Jobs to meet the top brass at Newsweek. They were interested in featuring Burl Smith and myself in the article as well, so we accompanied Steve on a whirlwind trip to New York City. We stayed at Steve's favorite hotel, the Carlyle, at a cost of over $400 per night. We took a tour of Newsweek's main offices, demonstrated the Mac to the editorial staff, and even spent some time chatting with Catherine Graham, the longtime publisher of The Washington Post and Newsweek. After we returned to Cupertino, we received word that we had passed muster and that Newsweek was enthusiastic about doing a cover story about the Macintosh introduction. Burl and I were interviewed again by Newsweek reporter Michael Rogers and were scheduled to be photographed the following day. The software still wasn't finished, even though there were only 5 days left to work on it, and tension mounted as weeks of relentless pressure were taking their toll. When the Newsweek photographer arrived, he wanted to photograph me in my office, but I was afraid that would be too disruptive to the rest of the team, so I told him that I often worked at home and convinced him to take the picture in the messy office of my house in Palo Alto. Unfortunately, somehow the San Jose Mercury found out that we had been granted the Newsweek cover and mentioned it in their business gossip column that came out on Friday. Newsweek didn't want the world to think their cover was predetermined, so that was enough to make them change it, switching, at the last minute, to a standby cover asking the burning question, "Can we keep the skies safe?" But it was still amazing to come into work the day before the introduction and see the January 30th, 1984 issue of Newsweek opened to a 4-page story about the Macintosh, which began with separate pictures of Burl and myself in our respective houses. Burl was sitting on the floor playing his beloved 9-string guitar with engineering diagrams spread out on the rug in front of him. There was a long review of the Macintosh, which was generally positive, although it said that some users may find the graphical user interface to be visually tiring to use. Burl had the best quote in the entire article about what he wanted to do next. "I want to build the computer of the 90s, only I want to do it tomorrow." The week following the shareholders' meeting, Steve Jobs and the Mac design team flew to Boston to recreate the Mac introduction on the East Coast in front of the Boston Computer Society. Steve Wozniak also came along and participated in a panel discussion with the design team following the intro spiel. Burl and I sat together in a row of seats near the middle of the plane on the 6-hour flight to Boston. We were just settling in for the long flight when a stewardess approached us, holding a copy of Newsweek open to the page with our pictures. "I recognized you from your pictures," she told us. "Can I have your autograph?" I was flustered because no one had ever asked me for an autograph before. I demurred, but eventually Burl and I both signed our names near our pictures, feeling slightly embarrassed. I turned on my Walkman, pushed back my seat, and tried to relax, hoping to be able to fall asleep. But around 20 minutes later, we were approached by a different stewardess, also holding a copy of the Newsweek issue. "Are you the guys who designed the Macintosh?" she asked. "I'd love to get your autographs." Wait a second, I thought to myself. Woz is on this flight. And sure enough, when I stood up and turned around, Woz was also standing, pointing at us and cracking up. He had convinced the stewardesses to cooperate in pulling one of his typical pranks on us. I started laughing too, because it was a pretty good one.